Okay, hello there, listeners, and welcome to part three of Purim's special. This part, and I think it's episode 100. I think it is episode number 100. So maybe just for the episode 100, I'll say if anyone that listen to this podcast and know me personally. I mean have a way to connect me and telling me, like, give me like feedback about the podcast. I will really love that. I will love to hear, like, is it interesting? Do you get like ideas coming from that? Is it like, I don't know, like the technical quality of it? Do you hear me walking around while I'm speaking and it interrupting anything? It could be nice to get a feedback as a gift for the 100th episode. And now we're continuing to the story. So if you only now start listening, so better go to the first preview episode and hear about it. I'm telling the story. I told actually the story of Purim, which is a Jewish holiday coming up. And now I got to the final part when Esther and Achashverosh sitting and drinking together alcohol, and Achashverosh tells Esther, like, wow, dear, I love you so much, and I appreciate so much the fact that you told me about those people tried to assassinate me and saved my life. What do you want? I will give you, I think he said, like, everything until the half of the kingdom or something. Like, what do you want? As an appreciation, and she's telling him, well, actually, my lord, you didn't knew that so far, but I'm actually Jewish. I'm a part of this minority, the Jewish people, and you actually allowed your assistant and his, like, again, like, big family or like a group of people, a nation, a minority, something like this. You allowed them to go and massacre us all in a certain date, which we know. And we don't, I actually will be appreciating it if you tell him to not massacre our people. And the story could have end with that. The king go like, oh my god, I told him he can massacre all your people, but you're such a lovely people, so I don't want you to be massacred. And of course, Haman, don't massacre them, they're very nice, come and be friend. The story could have end like that, but it's not. Because she's telling him, I want you to tell Haman to not massacre our people, like this do your decision? Is that a right sentence? Sometimes my English is like breaking up. To cancel, yes, this do. Cancel your decision of massacring us and let us kill Haman. Okay, you can kind of maybe see the revenge sense in it, right? Because this guy was actually planning and organizing to massacre your entire nation. I think it's not necessarily the karmatical best thing to do, but I can see how it makes sense to many people that this guy need to be killed himself. Maybe even killed by me, because he planned to kill me. Okay, so it's kind of like you can see the energetic balance with it, I guess. Even though I think just becoming friends will be like a better ending, but you can see the energetic idea, right? Like, you try to kill me, now I will kill you. But then she's saying, yeah, we want you to cancel your decision of massacring us. Let us kill Haman and his wife and all of his sons and his community. And then in the last episode of the story, and this is a detail that is not putting, it's not like again growing in a non-religious community and only getting the story in like main details. I did not grow up knowing about this final detail. I only figured it up when I read the story myself. But religious people read the whole thing, so they do know about that. So the story ends with the Jewish people massacring the entire nation of Haman, or his entire like family or group of people. They kill his entire family, and then they kill like. I don't remember the numbers. It's crazy. The numbers are actually written in the story, but I don't have it in front of my eyes. So, so they kill like something like 50 people, I think, and then in the next day. Achashverosh tell her, well, now Esther, are you happy or you want something more? And she's telling him, no, let us continue in doing this for another day. Can we continue massacre this nation for another day? And the king said, like, yeah, sure, do what you want. I will send a message to all of the big cities, all of the important centers around my empire, and let know to the whole Jewish people about what happened. And let them know that they now allowed, and they should, or at least allowed, to massacre all of these people that are related with Haman. I remember the number because I read it yesterday. So they massacre, and again we're speaking about like centuries ago. Yeah, it's not like think about the number of people that are alive in the world back then. It's like nothing compared to the numbers of today. So. To get like a perspective upon the number that I'm gonna put up. So in the story ends with the Jewish nation massacre up to 75,000 of the people from the nation of Haman, and then. Mordechai get a very high high degree job in the or a place in the king palace, and 75,000 people from Haman being massacred. By the Jewish nation as a response to the Haman nation attempt to massacre the Jewish nation. Now you can see the link between this ancient story of the Jewish mythology, I say, to the scenario today in present between the Israeli country and the Gaza people. I can see it. It's quite similar. And the thing is that this story in religious communities in Israel, that I think most of the Israelis are religious, as I think. Different kind of religious, but in all of the religious groups, Jewish in Israel, they read this story. They all gathered together in a religious ceremony. They have to do it. They all, adults and children, of course, the children are very important. They are there. They actually, much of these public readings are dedicated to children or aimed to children. And everyone sit around together and listen to this story. This is one what's going to happen within 2 weeks in Israel, that all of the religious Jewish people in Israel are gonna sit together in groups and listen to this story and say, wow, that's a great story. We can learn from that, right, about how we should behave. Will you believe that? I'm getting difficult to believe that. They're going to read a story about this other nation try to kill them, so they massacre all of them. And they're going to say, well, this is the right thing to do because this is how our ancestor did. We should get inspired by our ancestors and massacre the entire Gazic population. They do. this is the like the common thing to believe and support in Israel. It's crazy, it's terrible. And soon Ramadan is coming. I don't remember what Ramadan is about, but I'm pretty sure it's not about it's not quite nice anyway. Yeah, it's good to balance it and say that both of the cultures, Jewish and Islam, are terrible, monotheistic, patriarchal cultures, in my perspective, in my sight, how I see it. At least the central conformic part of them. I'm sure that I could find like Jewish people that will tell me about this story that it's either that it's not a good behavior, or either that it's just a metaphor or something like this, or either maybe I will find people that tell me, yeah, this was the right way to do justice back in the day, but today it's different. I sure I'm gonna find people that will tell me that, but I do believe that most of the religious Jewish people, that again the majority in Israel, will tell me this story is a educational story about how we should behave as a nation to another nation that is wish to hurt and destroy us, or to the nation of a man that is planning to destroy us. Yeah. Very sad, very terrible. I think the worst part of it is they read it to children. This is the way they educate children. And in the same time, Israeli media continue speaking about how about how terrible is the fact that Hamas is learning the children that are under his authority to hate Jewish people and be violent toward them, which I sure they do in a very terrible way, but it's ridiculous that the conformic Israeli society can blame Hamas doing that and still reading this story of Purim and saying like, wow, that's a good story, we should be inspired by that. And yeah, I have many other examples for that. It's not only the Purim story, it's not rare, but okay. Ooh, did we had enough from that? Okay, yeah, I think I did. So, as I promised, I will end the episode with telling you about the special cookies of Purim. The cookies, we call them Oznei Haman, like the ears of Haman, because according to the story, he was crucified by, killed by hanging him from his ears. And then his ears got like really, really stretched. So they're saying these cookies, which are actually triangles, look like Haman ears when they were stretched, hanging out of the tree. Which is, first, I think it's a terrible, horrible, horrifying image to put in little children's mind. And they do this all the time. They explain them why this cookie named like this, and they keep on calling them in this name. And second, they don't really look like ears, so yeah. So the reason that I heard, I don't remember where did I got this idea, but somewhere I heard, and it makes a lot of sense to me, that those cookies are actually ancient Farsi cookies from the pre-Islamic times. This story is happening in Paras in the pre-Islamic times, and at that times, you know, before monotheism came and made like one strong patriarchal god, there were cultures had many gods and goddesses. Monotheism destroyed the idea of the goddesses, but back in the days it was quite just a regular common idea, and it was many cultures had the goddesses of fruitfulness of the body, like the ability of having children, or maybe just the goddesses of sexuality or beauty or feminine or something like that. So So the Farsi, the ancient culture, Farsi culture also had goddesses as that, and the cookies are actually a traditional cookies dedicated to these goddesses. This is what I heard, and this is the reason that they look like vaginas, not like ears, but as vaginas, and they actually they look more, you know, like the triangle of the female vagina. So that's like we will end with a with this cookie and this nice idea about vagina shaped cookies as a soft ending to this rough episode. Thank you listeners for listening. Bless us all. Aho.